Good morning. Welcome to you to the Lord's house this morning. Please take a moment to sign the friendship register at the end of each row closest to the center aisle and pass it along to your neighbor seated next to you. We'd like to remind you that if you have children in our nursery or children's church, please leave your phones on vibrate so that we can contact you if your child needs your attention while they are with us. And please take a look at the announcement page inside your bulletins. I know it's been a while since we've had activities to announce, but there are several committee meetings coming up, and as well as a board meeting in early July. We also have an upcoming vacation Bible school event in late July, which is open to all children here at Berry. And if you're interested in helping with that, please do let us know. Also, our Men of Faith group is resuming in late August, so please note these dates and times as listed in the bulletin announcement page. We're still growing our children's and youth ministry post-COVID, and we still need some help to staff these ministries. Please contact Kathy Connell or myself if you have an interest in working with our youth and children. We would also welcome a few more folks to help manage our sound system during either service, and also to help us evaluate our current technology, which is starting to get quite old, and also exploring potential upgrades. So please let us know if that might be an interest of yours as well. All right, may we now begin our worship service. Andrew, welcome back. Good to see you this morning.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord. Proclaim his greatness. Sing praise to the Lord. Tell the wonderful things he has done. Let all who worship him rejoice. Let us sing our opening hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. It's hymn number 25. We'll sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, who rules all creation. O my soul, worship the wellspring of health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to God's temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely God's goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, who with great love doth befriend thee. Praise to the Lord, O let all of earth's peoples and races, all that hath life and breath, give thanks for manifold graces. Let the Amen sound from God's people again. Gladly forever sing praises.
May we bow for a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for this beautiful day and for the privilege to worship with our brothers and sisters in Christ as we are all here to give glory, to give praise and glory to you, our God. We also yearn for your presence through the gift of the Holy Spirit, who ushers in the living presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. May our music and praise be uplifting to each of us, and may our praise and worship be pleasing to your ears, O God. and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you. Please be seated. We'd like to invite the kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of number 190, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Oh my goodness, it's always so hard to get settled in, isn't it? What do we got over here? What are these things? Are they boxes? Yeah, there are lots of different boxes, aren't they? You know, when I was a kid, we used to always have what we called treasure boxes. And we'd put all sorts of good things in there. The boys would usually put rocks and dead bugs and all kinds of other gross, disgusting stuff in there. And the girls would put, oh, little bits of jewelry that broke that mom gave them, or pretty little things that they found. Sometimes they were little boxes like this. Sometimes they were shoe boxes. My brothers favored old coffee cans or cookie tins. They liked those because they made noise. And we used to call them our treasure boxes. That's where we put all of our special stuff, what we thought was really special stuff. Most of these are empty. They're just boxes. This one actually has three things in it. It's the only treasure box I have left. It has a ring from my mom and a ring from my grandma and a coin that my grandpa always kept in his pocket. And that's really all I have. I don't have a bunch of stuff anymore. I have that all on shelves at my house. Did you know that the Israelites, the Jewish people, did you know they had a very, very special treasure box? It's one that God told them to make. And it was called an ark. The Ark of the Covenant. And God gave them very special instructions on how that was supposed to be made and what they were supposed to put inside it. And it was the most precious thing. It was Do you know? Do you know what they put in there? Probably not. They put the tablets that had the Ten Commandments on them so that they would always remember. That's what we did with our treasure boxes. It was so we had our memories in there. We wanted to remember all that stuff. And today in Children's Church, maybe we'll learn a little bit more about that big treasure box. Do you have treasure boxes at home? Do you have someplace where you keep goodies? In a drawer? You do? Do you stuff your pockets? My brothers used to stuff their pockets with all kinds of good stuff they found outside. Dead worms and rocks and all kinds of fun stuff. It was kind of yuck. Ew, that's what I say. All right, can we have a little prayer? Can we bow and have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great treasure of the commandments of our Lord Jesus, of all the grace and mercy that you show us each and every day. We pray that our hearts become a treasure box that holds all of the wonder and glory of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Number of people for us to lift up in prayer as we make our way through the new week. Certainly our prayers are for the family so deeply affected by the collapse of the apartment tower in Surfside, Florida. As we keep not only them in prayer, but certainly all of the first responders and construction workers in the midst of what they are undertaking. Among our people, we want to lift up Arlita White. She is recovering from one of several different procedures that resulted injury to her head from a fall here several weeks back, but she's now beginning to see some good, steady progress. We hope that's all heading in the right direction for her. We also want to lift up Ardith Haynes in our prayers and Dave, as both of them are now home but still having some health concerns. We lift up Jerry Treese as he was able to finish up his treatments for cancer this past week, and all is progressing well for him. Want to lift up Betty Gilstrap and Pam Roberts as both of them are dealing with health matters, as well as Grace Kimberling, who's pretty much homebound now. And we lift up also Dottie Olson among our members. And among family members, we're lifting up Jerry Chester's father, Dean, as he will be anticipating surgery for that pancreatic cancer that's to be taking place in about mid-July. We lift up Nancy Poos, who is Patty Miller's sister. We remember Christy Cook, a daughter of Carol Cook, and I'm understanding from talking with Kathy Gorman this past week that her daughter-in-law and granddaughter, Natalie and Savannah Gorman, are both making very good progress. That's certainly very encouraging for their family. Also in Edna Williams' family, remembering her cousin Anna. And we're lifting up Rihanna Ralston and Carolyn Comfort, Christina Driver, and Donna Stebbins are all folks that we're lifting up in prayer. So may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Most holy and loving God, we express our gratitude for the privilege to once again assemble in your house and offer you praise, as we also experience fellowship with your Holy Spirit and with one another. For the joy that is ours in Christ, we rejoice, even as recent events give us cause to mourn. For the lives of so many people affected by the collapsed apartment building in Surfside, Florida, we seek your comfort. And for the first responders and construction workers on site, we pray for your abiding strength and renewal to be with them with the task at hand. As tragedies prevail, we are always reminded of the tenuous nature of our fallible earthly existence and the sorrow and tragedy that can fall upon anyone at any time. Through the tears and sorrow, O God, we pray that we may find hope in your Spirit's comfort. As Lamentations chapter 3 tells us, that Your steadfast love never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. And may we also be reminded that the great compassion that our Lord Jesus Christ shared with so many people in his ministry certainly abides with us as well. As Matthew chapter 14 reminds us, when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And even as Jesus told us in John chapter 16, verse 3, that we will always have tribulation in our worldly existence, may we also know that he assures us that your peace is with us through the blessing of the spiritual realm, as your Son is indeed becoming the avenue through which we have eternal life, and even as Christ has overcome the world. This be our prayer, O God, as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
All throughout my history, your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. The evidence, see the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. Oh, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. Oh, why should I fear? The evidence is here. Oh, why should I fear? Oh, the evidence.
severe lung problem developed early in life for Richard Blanchard. It left him with a lifetime of only one-third of his breathing capacity. Yet this diminished physical capacity did not keep him from serving as a pastor for the Lord's work. And in 1953, while serving as a pastor of a church in Coral Gables, Florida, a young couple was quite late for a premarital counseling appointment. While continuing to wait at the church, Pastor Blanchard went to a nearby Sunday school room to play the piano for a while. In less than 30 minutes, the words and the tune to a hymn came to him by what he believes was certainly the blessing of the Holy Spirit's guidance. And that hymn, "Fill My Cup, Lord," has subsequently blessed countless people of faith throughout the decades. And reflecting on the blessing that this hymn has been to so many people, he looks back on his life, and Pastor Blanchard says that even though he may have been impaired physically, God has in so many ways filled his cup. We prepare to receive the elements of the Lord's Supper as we sing all three stanzas of our communion hymn. It is "Fill My Cup, Lord," number 351.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, "Draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are craving the pleasure earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. So, my friend, if all the things this world gave you leave hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you if you kneel to Him and humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
As we receive the privilege to gather at the Lord's table, we once again remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Ron leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather around your table this morning, we're thankful for your sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. We remember these emblems, the cup and the bread, the body and the blood, which was sacrificed for our sins. We thank you for that sacrifice and look forward to the opportunity to share in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. With these instructions from our Lord and with the generosity of our hearts, we offer up our tithes and offerings as Dave leads us in a word of prayer and as we strive to be a benefit to others.
Our Father, we thank you for this day that we are able to gather here in your house to worship you. As we prepare to receive a portion of all you have given us, we ask that you bless the gift and the giver. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, we pray that these offerings will be used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. I share with you a scripture text from the book of Exodus. It's the 25th chapter, verses 10 through 22. Make a box out of acacia wood, 45 inches long, 27 inches wide, 27 inches high. Cover it with pure gold, inside and out, and put a gold border all around it. Make four carrying rings of gold for it and attach them to the four legs with two rings on each of them. And make carrying poles of acacia wood and cover them with gold, and put them through the rings on each side of the box. And the poles are to be left in the rings and must not be taken out. Then put in the box the two stone tablets I will give you, on which the commandments are written. Make a lid of pure gold, 45 inches long, 27 inches wide, and make two winged creatures of hammered gold, one for each end of the lid. Make them so that they form one piece with the lid. The winged creatures are to face each other across the lid, and their outspread wings are to cover it. Put the two stone tablets inside the box and put the lid on top of it. I will meet you, verse 22 says, meet you there, and from above the lid between the two winged creatures I will give you all my laws for the people of Israel. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Lord God, we're grateful for the day, the privilege to once again be in your house on a Lord's Day and to focus on your word and to understand what it means for us. to follow you. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Last week we explored on Father's Day how God instructed the Hebrew people to build several different items, symbols to strengthen God's relationship with his people. And among the things I spoke about last week was, of course, this portable box called the Ark of the Covenant. And it got me to wondering, well, what do most of we folks know about the Ark of the Covenant? Except that it was a box that had stuff in it. What do we know about it? What do we really know? For example, what's an ark? Have you ever wondered that? What's an ark? You heard of whose? Noah's ark, and now the Ark of the Covenant. But what's an ark? Do you know? Actually, the word simply means that it affords protection and safety. Now then, that makes a great deal of sense then when you think of Noah's Ark. We think Noah's Ark, we think Noah's boat. No, it was a form of protection and safety for Noah and his family and, of course, the animals. You see? And here, this is called the Ark of the Covenant. So here we have an item that is to afford protection and safety for God's people who are following what? The covenant. The ark, the protection, if you will, of what? The covenant. But what is a covenant? It is, of course, an agreement between God and humanity. And that covenant or agreement begins with God's initiation in Genesis chapter 17, verse 2, when God says to Abram, I will make my covenant with you and give you many descendants. But the covenant relationship also relies on humanity's willingness to maintain allegiance to God. As we continue to think of the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own people. The whole earth is mine, but you will be my chosen people, a people dedicated to me alone. Thus, you see, the Ark of the Covenant, God in a box, began with a portable piece of furniture that held three objects. And, of course, the text I read to you just talked about one of them, correct? But as you read further into the text, you discover there are three things in the ark. That's something you should learn in Sunday school, right? First of all, there is the Ten Commandments. And then, of course, there is a jar of manna. And then there is Aaron's rod. All objects to remind the Hebrew people of their reliance upon God for instruction, sustenance, and guidance. You see? Now, this portable box, we understand it was made of acacia wood. And the acacia tree, which still exists today, takes on the shape of an umbrella. It is a low-growing tree that has broad branches that stretch themselves out, providing much-needed shade in various arid regions of the world. And acacia wood is also a very dense hardwood. It's suitable for building long-lasting items of furniture and housewares. It's a perfect hardwood for heavy-use pieces of furniture like tables and benches. So thus it made a perfect sense that God decided that the Ark of the Covenant was to be made of acacia wood because, first of all, the wood was available. Secondly, because it was hardwood. Third, because it was a kind of wood that would indeed last for centuries. And in fact, the Ark of the Covenant, being the major symbol of God's presence and relationship for the Hebrew people for a long time, needed to be made out of a wood that would last, right? How many years was the Ark of the Covenant used as the symbol of God's relationship to humanity. How many years? You know, we don't think about that very often, do we? The actual number was 861 years. Now, to put that into perspective of your time, if the year 2021 was the year that we quit using the Ark of the Covenant, in our own historical perspective, we would have to go all the way back to 1160 AD to be on the year that the covenant box was made. Now, 1160 AD, that would put us in a time period of the medieval period, and most of our folks would have been living in Europe, more than likely, right? That's how far back we got to go to think in terms of how long the Ark of the Covenant was the primary symbol for the Hebrew people and their relationship with God. Now, it was a small box, but what we have to understand is that it packed a powerful punch. In 1406 BC, at God's command, as the priests carried the ark into the Jordan River, the waters roll back, and the Israelite people are able to cross the riverbed of the Jordan River on dry ground. And then the Hebrews march around Jericho in about 1400 BC, and for 7 days with the ark leading the way, and then with a shout out, we understand that indeed the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. When the Philistines steal the ark in about 1180 B.C., they put it in their temple along with their god Dagon. But the god Dagon is actually destroyed. And I'm actually going to talk about that in another sermon because I think it's a funny story worth sharing with you, kind of getting a perspective of God's way of joking with people when they're not following his ways. 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 tells us that the God of the Hebrews cannot dwell in the same temple with idols. And then while the ark was among the Philistines, God smote them with severe plagues, as we're told in 1 Samuel chapter 5. And then in 1 Samuel chapter 6, we're told that 50,070 people are slain as they foolishly try to open up the lid of the ark. And yes, so you see, the Ark of the Covenant, it was a small box, but it indeed did pack a big punch because it represented a big God. And yet, it's sad to realize that as the centuries drag on, the Hebrews become rather lousy custodians of the portable symbol of God's presence among them. The Hebrew people wander so far away from God that the book of the law is lost and is actually then rediscovered when the temple is remodeled, and the Ark of the Covenant, which had been casually moved about the countryside, is only returned to the temple in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple, where it was supposed to be all along, only returned when King Josiah orders it to come back and to be placed in the temple during his reign, which was called the time of Josiah's reform from about 640 to 609 B.C. And it's only 22 years after Josiah's reign ends in 587 B.C., that the Hebrew people become so weak and wander so far away from God that when Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon lays siege to Jerusalem, not only is Solomon's temple looted, burned, and torn down to the ground, but the Ark of the Covenant is lost forever, as described in 2 Kings 25 and Jeremiah 39. Now, to put that into perspective, at least when the British burned Washington, D.C. during the War of 1812 in August of 1814,
clerks of the Department of State had the wherewithal and personal determination to bag up in coarse linen bags the Articles of Confederation, the papers of the Continental Congress, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and a hoard of other very important documents of our own American history, and they carried them off to safety in horse-drawn carts to a grist mill on the Virginia side of the Potomac River. That was a lot of paperwork to pile up into linen bags and get to safety, and thank goodness they did it. Otherwise, our Declaration and the Constitution would not be in a bulletproof glass-sealed case today, would they? That, by the way, you can go see, right? But that's got me to thinking, what effort would it have taken to save a box that was basically 27 by 27 by about 4 foot long? How much work would it have taken for a few folks to lift up those poles and say, you know what, we see Nebuchadnezzar's army coming, we can see the dust cloud ahead of us. You see? What would it have taken to move something not even as big as a human person's casket? But did they? No, they did not. Even the prophet Jeremiah prophesies that the day will come in which the ark will become obsolete. Jeremiah 3 verse 16 tells us, then when you have become numerous in the land, people will no longer talk about my covenant box. Yet despite the people's neglect of the Ark of the Covenant, the very object that for centuries had symbolized God's living presence among them for, again, nearly 9 centuries, we are grateful that our loving God did not give up on his people. We remember from this morning's text in Exodus chapter 25, verse 22, that God said regarding the top of the box, I will meet you there. And from above the lid between the two winged creatures, I will give you all my laws, the laws for all my people of Israel. But instead of being God in the box, our loving God decided to reveal his very essence of himself by sending a living, breathing expression of himself in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. And at that point, God's presence became flesh and lived among us. John chapter 1, verse 14 tells us, the Word became a human being and full of grace and truth lived among us. We saw his glory, which we received as the Father's only Son. And then after the crucifixion, resurrection, and of course the ascension of our Lord, we recognize that the presence of God is to dwell among us here on earth in the form of God's living spiritual presence among all who willingly receive Christ as Lord and Savior. There's no need for an Ark of the Covenant. Instead, we are all to be vessels of God's living presence and hope as we are compelled to live godly, Christ-like lives in thanksgiving for the salvation that we've already experienced and what Christ has done for us. Paul describes this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, which is actually the verse I put out on the sign this week. And of course, if you saw the lettering on the sign, it simply says, Christ in us. But as the text of Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 states, it is no longer I, Paul says, that lives, but it is Christ who lives in me. This life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. And as Acts chapter 1, verse 8 tells us, we will receive the power of the Holy Spirit as it's come upon us, and we are to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Yes, God was in a box, if you will, for about 9 centuries. It was the neglect of the human spirit that made that box insignificant. And so the challenge is upon us. The living God lives within us through the blessing of His Holy Spirit. But are we neglectful of that presence? Or do we live our lives as a bright and shining example of Christ's presence, of God's presence in the world? That's the challenge for you and for me. Do you know Christ? If He's not your Lord and Savior, today is that day you can come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today is the day for you to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. It's hymn number 545. We'll sing all stanzas, please.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by Thy hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in Thine, nor ever murmur nor repine. By water still or troubled sea, till 'tis Thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
We thank You for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish You the very best as you journey forward in the new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, guide us as we step forward into the new week, recognizing that we are witnesses to Your glory and purposes as we step forward to the task set before us. For the privilege, we give thanks as we depart. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
God, dismiss us with Your blessing. Fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each Your love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us,
or refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give an adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful to the truth may we be found.